You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, if you've been following the news, and all of us do, one of the biggest items this week is around Hobson's Pledge. They put an ad into the New Zealand Herald, a full wraparound on the front page. So if you're up north like I am, you will have seen it. But it's created a huge brouhaha. There we go. There's a word you weren't expecting to hear. But it's been a huge bun fight around the fact that this ad was there at all. So I'm a great believer, as you know, in speaking free. So we're going right to the source. I've got Elliot Ekele, who is a spokesperson for Hobson's Pledge, joining the show now. Elliot, welcome along.
Kia ora, Simon. Very, very happy to be here. Very happy to be on the show.
I have to declare right up front, I call Elliot a friend. He and I used to do a panel show together talking all sorts of issues. So he's a wonderful guy. I'm just thrilled you're on the show. But from the Hobson's Pledge side, talk us through what's happened. What's this all about?
So what the page of the Herald advert was about was educating the public, educating our people, New Zealanders, on the fact that the Marine and Coastal Area Act has been affected by the activist judges. And now, of course, nearly the entirety of New Zealand's coastline is at risk of being lost to certain groups. And we needed to have that out there to show it. And it was quite a shocking picture, to be fair, because when you look at the photo of the New Zealand map, which we took from Te Arawhiti website, so we took it from a Māori advocacy group's own website, and we showed that nearly in the entirety of New Zealand's coastline is under attempts to take it over. And we needed for people to see that, and that was also to help assist the government's push to also change the MACA laws and to amend it. And what we want is for it to be brought into the public ownership as it always should have been, so that it belongs to all New Zealanders, not just the elite few.
So Elliot mentions the acronym MACA, so that's the Marine and Coastal Act. So long and short, listeners will remember in the Helen Clark times, the seabed and foreshore, massive protests, the then Key government, I was actually there at the time with Christopher Finlayson, passed this law. And really briefly, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, Elliot, they passed a law to try and manage the claims for New Zealand's foreshore. So I think our beaches. And they said at the time, Chris Finlayson and others, that this would maybe cover 10% of New Zealand's foreshore, that the tests were really high, uninterrupted use of the land would be required, or the beaches. And yet you've just touched, Elliot, that the judges have taken a different view.
They have. They really have. And this is where we get real concern about the types of judges that we're starting to see in New Zealand. Now, it really did come to a head last year when we had a particular judge who started to talk about tikanga being a legal force. And in there, it was also found that they were going to utilize tikanga as a legal argument and that experts on tikanga would be chosen by claimants of that. So you've got some very undemocratic and I would say very much very grey in terms of the law, in terms of it very vague, extremely opaque, with the absolute intention of just taking part of Kiwi's coastline. And in fact, almost all of it.
So, I mean, one of the – and there's two points that we need to discuss here. One's the law and what's attempting to be forced on New Zealanders, for want of a better term, and the other is around the ad. But fundamentally, this is a big, big debate about who owns or holds in trust, for want of a better phrase, our seabed and foreshore. And the intent of Parliament does seem to have been railroaded in a very different direction by the judiciary.
That's absolutely right. The law may have been told to have been setting a high bar, but it hasn't. It really hasn't. And I wonder if there's a greater expansion here to be looked at, because the judiciary in New Zealand has, of course, become quite activist style in New Zealand over the last years, especially when you think about the spikes in home detention, the concerning elements about violent crime that judges have allowed to go free. And I think there might be this might be an expansion of that. And so I think there might be some even other questions, not just according to Macca, but also our justice system and why we're getting these activist judges engaging. So in terms of the Macca and in terms of the ad that we put out there, it very clearly is about bringing New Zealand ownership of the foreshores and the seabeds, that nautical 12 miles, into the hands of Kiwis, that New Zealanders, being all one people, we deserve the right to be able to go to the beach whenever we want. There's one of the concerning arguments that we have seen, for example, from elitists and some of the radical groups out there, is that, hey, you're talking nonsense, Māori or the iwi, who will own them effectively, are not going to block people from the access and beaches and shores. This is incorrect. This has already occurred over the last years that we've seen. And they refer to them sometimes as rahui, for a temporary stop for people to be able to access. Or they might even go to a wahitapu, which means that they've kept a part of that sacred. Now, what we've also seen is that when areas have been made wahitapu, sometimes they are kept, in a sense, apart, and sometimes charges and fees are given in order for different groups and organizations to utilize such areas. So this is not acceptable.
Yeah. It's a huge issue. It's a big issue. There's nuances, there's different perspectives. So Hobson's Pledge has got a view. I'm sure, I don't know, the various iwi have a view, which then brings us to this ad. So you guys paid, I'm not going to ask you how much, but you guys paid for a front cover to envelop the Herald to raise this issue. And, well, there's been a huge stink. Various groups from Te Pāti Māori to up till now unknown Māori broadcasters group saying that it's wrong, it should never have been allowed. The Herald's no longer, NZME is no longer allowing Hobson's Pledge to run other ads. I mean, this just strikes me as censorship. I mean, what's your guys' take on it all?
Well, it's not just censorship. It's an extreme and it's a shocking form of censorship, because the immediate reaction was to somehow claim and to smear Hobson's Pledge with cause of eliminating Māori, erasing Māori rights, and that it was an attack upon Māori itself, which was very obscene and very wrong. We saw cancel culture engage in the most brutal form, where you saw the New Zealand Herald being bullied successfully by other groups. And this, of course, culminated with a Herald bringing it down and not putting up some other ads that we had good to go. Yes, you're talking about also Wātea News. Wātea News has said that they are going to cut their ties with them. Again, this is directly against freedom of the press. And not only that, but when there were multiple calls to say, oh, they're talking about misinformation, they're lying, they're incorrect, we have stated multiple times, we've given them these sites and the information links as to where we got that information off. And that information often comes from those radical iwi and some of the organizations who are engaged in it. So you've got multiple leaks of nonsensical. You've got disinformation around misinformation. So they're saying that we're misinformation, but they don't bring anything up. They throw out epithets and any sort of insulting smears that they can find, but they cannot find where we've gone incorrect in our information. And I also do want to bring, there is some real concerning stuff. We've had to pass over some messages to the police. There have been some people who have been doxxed and with calls for violence directly to certain people involved in our crew. There's even been a couple of comments towards myself and my family, and one of them has even been able to identify what suburb I may or may not live in. So this has become, you've got a group pylon attacking us for their smearing accusations. And also
you've expressed a view. Let's be really clear.
And it's an accurate view as well.
Yeah, but that's debatable. I mean, don't get me wrong. As someone who was there when the law was passed, knew what its intentions was, and I can see how it's gone off the piste now. In fact, we should probably have you back on for a deeper discussion around, if you will, the substance around this law. But if we just step back for a moment, at the end of the day, you guys have not published anything illegal. You're not inciting anyone to violence. You are putting forward your researched perspective on a piece of law, and you've been cancelled.
That's absolutely right. It's absolutely right. It's quite shocking, and perhaps it's indicative of a bullying culture where we see some of those groups, organizations bully another organization, and that organization then folds. It's quite extraordinary.
Well, it's amazing to me that, and this again is not a reflection on The View, but that you even got to put the ad in. And why I say that is, you know, I deal with Family First. I work with Bob McCoskrie and Ting. And, you know, last year, before I worked with them, but they tried to put an ad in the paper, in the NZME papers, asking, what is a woman? And they were stopped because it didn't align with the NZME's woke agenda. I know the likes of even the Child Poverty Action Group, who would have quite different views, I might suggest, from me. They've had trouble getting ads in the paper. So I don't know, do you have a perspective on why the Herald and the NZME seem to be all over the place? No to Family First, restrictions on Child Poverty Action, but then all of a sudden, yep, okay, we'll let Hobson's Pledge run this ad, and then, oh, not anymore. I mean, what's going on?
Well, it's a really good question, actually, because I think at one stage, there's the easy stuff that we do see, which is the current culture in New Zealand, the current climate is one of brittle and fear. So you have to speak what you are allowed to speak. And there are small and minor groups who seem to have an inordinate amount of fear element, inducing elements to them. Now, that's the easiest stuff. We would call it woke. So, you know, the things that you are socially allowed to say and not allowed to say, or opinions that you're allowed to hold and not allowed to hold, that whole thought process. Then you've got to think, well, why is this culture even here? Because if you look at the US, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, there is a spread of what seems to be ideological attempts to assimilate. And I think it's quite dark and it's very scary, and it does.
Yeah, well, there's only accepted views and there's non-accepted views. And yeah. So something like the treaty's controversial. There's a multitude of perspectives. And again, you know, really to stress to listeners, Hobson's Pledge has a particular perspective, actually well supported by a lot of New Zealanders. You had the money to put the ad in the paper. But it's not allowed to be discussed. And it's concerning to me too, Elliot, that as you mentioned, a small group but fairly vocal from Te Pāti Māori and others, effectively yelling and screaming, seem to have been effective.
I'm going to put my personal opinion. I believe that Te Pāti Māori, many of those actors in there are vicious racists. I think that they are quite shockingly against anyone who is either not Māori or the right kind of Māori. They seem to, as far as I can see, they only seem to accept those who are their kind of Māori. And anyone else outside of that is anathema.
Look what's happened to, let's not go down that rabbit hole because I'm going to run out of time, but you know, look what's happened to Karen Chaw.
Absolutely.
For example.
Great example. Yeah.
Hey, but jumping back, like one of the arguments Te Pāti Māori and others have put forward is that people at NZME, some there would feel very unsafe because of this ad. So any comment that a piece of paper with some ideas might make people so unsafe that we have to ban it. Yeah. You got any comment on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if they're going to be unsafe, if they're going to feel harmed or be unsafe because of the comments of a free speech article that we wrote that is also well-researched and doesn't engage in violence or anything, then I think that they have to avoid pretty much any or most of the articles that they do engage in. Now, that's one side. The other side, I have a personal offence at them trying to say that they're being harmed because, as you know, I've spent decades in helping our at-risk communities, our rangatahi, our youth, sections like that. And for me, it makes a mockery of the real trauma that exists out there in the community by them stating that the advert that we made is harmful and that they're feeling really unsafe. I find it quite disgusting. It is. It makes a mockery of the true trauma that we have out there that is going forward. And so it weakens it, it mocks it, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a fraudulent attempt to say that they're unsafe.
Oh, look, I think it's great you brought up. I talk about it as conflation, the idea that, you know, physical violence is now the same as, you know, reading something in the paper which upsets people. I mean, to put it bluntly, there are people working at NZME that are so offended and are so scared and harmed by some words on a paper, they might want to go to a kindergarten. It's a real concern. Hey, look, Elliot, thank you for coming on and not only talking us through the whole issue with the Herald and the ad and the fact that effectively you've been censored and cancelled, but also giving listeners a bit of an insight into what this Marine and Coastal Act, or MACA, as you've referenced a few times.
Can I also just say, one of the wonderful things that has come out, though, is we've had a massive outpouring of support, and we've had our list have gone up, people have joined us, people have contacted us through letters. The outpouring of support has been massive. So in trying to shut us down, they've opened us up.
Well, what are they? It's a Streisand effect, isn't it? I mean, in a strange way, you put down whatever money you did for the ads, but with all this hoopla, you've actually ended up with a whole lot of free publicity. So maybe that's something that you know, these groups trying to force you to be censored should reflect on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said.
Elliot, thanks for joining us. And again, everyone, that was Elliot Ekele, who is a spokesperson for Hobson's Pledge.
Thank you, mate. Cheers.
Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.